And here we are for our roundtable here with Jake, Catherine, and Matt to talk about another dating-related topic. So before I introduce it, hello.
What it be?
Thank you.
Okay, that was
thank you for the setup.
Matt and I had hasty eye contact communication there to say it together.
Okay. I saw what you guys were doing, and I was ignoring it.
Let's maybe work on it off mic, and then next time bring it back around again. That'd be good.
Well, I think we should all do the motions, Jake did.
Oh, yes, the finger pointing.
What it be?
Nice. Okay. That is scarily like a pickup line, and we're not going to talk about pickup lines today, but
we are going to
decode some dating terms.
100% of the time, 0% of the time.
Not just like terms like, oh, here's what this term means, because you can Google most of those, but really how they play out in your dating life and what are some of the kind of mysteries or unknowns around some of the ways that people define this kind of stuff, because apparently it really mixes people up. And I know I've been there too. So we're going to pick a few things. We're going to go as rapid fire as we can because we want to hit on as many of these as we can. And I'm going to just start off with a pretty broad one because I know I've gotten this from a couple of my sisters, being honest. And that is, in dating, I am, quote, too picky. What does it mean when you say someone is too picky? And what does it actually mean to be too picky versus you're just being discerning in looking for someone?
You turn someone down that they thought was the right person for you, right?
Oh, that's what they're
like
saying.
Like somebody sets you up.
Oh, if someone says that, yeah.
If like your sisters are saying it to
right,
you.
Right, so they're offended. If
they're like, yeah. Look, I... Like, you think you're a 10 or something? This guy's an 8. And so you're being too picky.
This is a hard one.
Yeah, I think so. The closest association I have for this is a friend of mine has been going on dates, you know, dating apps, everything. And it's just not working out for him. And he's like, I tell this to people, like, I go on first dates all the time. And then I either turn them down or they turn me down with a text later. And it's really hard on him. And people are like, well, I think you're just being too picky. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, I want a girl who likes the outdoors and loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, those are my two characteristics.
And then he's saying like, and then he I can't tell find that. Someone who loves the outdoors and Jesus. Because I would
Lisa's
immediately
like,
say,
no.
I guess
I'm just like, you're too picky.
Well, I think the only way to really know is asking people. I had a friend who every time she would call me after a date, she would be like, I think he's probably going to be an alcoholic or something extreme.
What?
And I was like, how do you know that after one date? And I kept thinking, I think she's too picky, but I didn't want to say anything. Finally, one day we were driving the car and she was like, Catherine, do you think I'm too picky? And I was like, well, yes. But I it's hard because we want to have high standards and it's hard to find somebody that matches up to your Christian values, especially online, I think, from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. So
I just feel like when it comes to going out on dates, you have to have, I think some people err on the side of not having enough standards. So they've got this wide range of stuff they're willing to put up with, most of which is nonsense. And but then when it comes to all the other things that would be like lesser concerns, then they get, quote, too picky. So I feel like you've got to have your non-negotiables, and they're like about five things, including loving Jesus and being legit in their faith. And then, I mean, I feel like if you go out with everyone who you find online or who asks you out that has those five things, then you can start whittling it down from there. But I feel like you're going to open up much more opportunity by not being picky on the front end of all of a sudden starting to impose these things like, well, I saw him online and he was wearing a weird colored shirt, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, or like, I don't date engineers and he's an engineer.
Yeah.
Like, maybe open that
what
up and like
in the world?
Try.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. I want to talk about being equally yoked. Okay, so this is a term, actually it comes out of the Bible is where we use it from, specifically 2 Corinthians 6:14. And basically just to let people know, to explain, being equally yoked means, you know, the yoke, like picture of an oxen, means that when you're equally yoked, you are pulling in the same direction. And so as it applies to dating, clearly, we want to be dating and eventually marrying someone who is pulling in that same direction. What do you guys see as some of the implications of that?
Well, I mean, scripturally, when it's used, it's talking about, you know, being married to somebody who shares your faith in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
and really even beyond marriage. I mean, it could be like it's just saying basically don't be in an intimate relationship,
sure,
whether
right.
a hardcore business partnership, marriage, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
To imply. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah. So it's but I think I think that one even gets misused a little bit where it's like, well, you know, maybe they didn't think the exact same thing about me on this theological issue. And that just becomes an easy way to say, well, we weren't equally yoked.
Right. It's like there's two levels to it where it's like, yes, we agree that like God rules our lives equally yoked, but also there can be like deeper levels that people go to with it sometimes.
It's too broad of a term in how we use it, like too picky, in that it can mean so many things depending on who's the one saying it.
What I've always thought of it as, and this may be wrong, but I've definitely dated people I wasn't equally yoked with, and it took me a long time to figure it out. But I think the best way I can put it into my own words is like you're living out your Christian faith in the same way. So I dated people that were Christians. I never officially dated a non-Christian. You could have said I was equally yoked with all of them, but it became clear pretty quickly that the way that God speaks to me, the way I study the Bible, the way I view God in light of like everyday circumstances was really different than them. Mm-hmm. And I think at the beginning you're like, well, they're just a different person than me, which is true. But until I met Cody, I didn't really know that there could be somebody who I actually felt like was on the same terms I was with God. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when he'll bring up something, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I thought about that too once. And I struggle with this part of like my faith, and you know, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it until you have it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess you and Cody both view faith differently sometimes too.
Oh, like yeah,
you
for
need
sure.
different things from God almost.
You like, do. And that's a hard balance to strike because you're like, you want them to challenge you, but you also want them to understand you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say that there are some things apart from just salvation that are differentiating factors that could be hills to die on. I mean, I think there sure. are some doctrinal
oh, sure.
things. I mean, if you're gonna marry a pastor and he's all about like saying that to join the church, you know, you have to be immersion baptized or you have to be, you know, all your babies have to be sprinkled or whatever, that can cause a lot of rifts. And once people start having kids and stuff,
apparently not so funny to me.
Anyway, so I mean, I think
hey,
there
it's
are
a
some
situation
things
a lot of people are in
that are just gonna allow you to worship more freely, move your family in the same direction, whatever. But I do want to also make a distinction because we didn't really draw the line there on Christian versus non-Christian. And I want to say that one of the biggest reasons I give folks, and I think I actually use this in my book when I talked about it, is the idea of it doesn't matter how great your relationship is and how much understanding you have of one another. If one of you is, you know, not a Christian, but a good person and a really giving person and whatever, the fact is, it doesn't matter how great your relationship is if one of you is going to hell. You will be separated for eternity, and I think that should be enough of a pause to be concerning that you're going to invest in this person your whole life only to never see them in eternity.
Well, but the problem there is that, like, not to say that that is something you have to think about, but the problem is that a lot of us in those situations might then say, that's why I want to bring them.
Right.
You know, that's where that missionary dating mindset really comes into
in
play.
In college,
right?
When I almost dated,
like, this is a great person.
I almost dated the non-Christian guy who was one of the sweetest guys I ever met. And even that knowledge that we have different eternities wasn't enough for me. So I think your emotions get the best of you. And it took a long time to pull myself out of that, to not say, you know what, I can't save him. And if he doesn't choose this life, I'm never going to, especially in dating when he's trying to impress me the most, like it's never going to mm-hmm. happen. I mean, yeah. it may, but...
yeah, so it's like, yes, there's yeah. the eternity thing, but I think we can easily rationalize around that. Mm-hmm. We can probably easily rationalize around most things, but there's just a practical aspect of when you then have kids, how do you want to raise those kids? What are you teaching those kids? Mm-hmm. And that is a huge cross point. If this is something you're truly passionate about and they're not, mm-hmm. then you're going to want to raise your kids differently. You're going to want to do your finances differently. You're going to want to do, you know, you're going to be called to things differently, and that's going to cause those, like, so the eternal and the temporal are, there's some huge obstacles there.
Lisa, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you something. Came up on the Boundless Insiders Facebook page. This girl said that online she cannot seem to find a guy who's a Christian and goes to church. Like, there's a lot of guys who say they're a Christian but they just don't go to church, and she's like, every guy she's ever met online isn't involved in church. What do you think? I mean, so do you think we should stop making that a factor, or...
No, I would say, like for me, that would be one of my non-negotiables. And that's where I would say, you know, again, you can't let yourself be limited by the medium, again, because we're working with a limitless God who can do anything. And so I think a lot of people look at the statistics, whether it's in their church or in their sphere of friends or online or whatever, and they're like, well, I'm never going to meet anyone. And then you hear stories where God has just brought someone out of their past or someone that they just met in the grocery store or whatever. That's where I say, no, you keep your non-negotiables. In fact, I had a friend who did this online. She was dating online for years, I think, and just kind of got in these lame-o relationships, ended up with a lot of breakups. And then she's like, forget it. I'm going to put down 5 things that I'm about, and I will not talk to anyone who does not have all 5. And they were an important 5, and involvement in a local church was one of them. And that's when she met her husband, you know, mm-hmm. in the midst of that. So that's where I think it's, again, it's like a trusting God issue. You know, it's like, you know what? If God wants your unbelieving friend, wannabe boyfriend to get saved someday and you guys are meant to be together, God's going to accomplish that. And he does not need you to be part of that story now and put yourself on the altar of, you know, like, oh, you're going to have to be the sacrificial lamb to date this unbeliever and maybe get into something dangerous just so that I can eventually bring him to myself. So, all right. Let's talk about the term pursuing marriage. When someone says they are pursuing marriage, what does that mean? They're just like open to marriage, or they're actually like running after women, hoping to snag someone. What is it, when you guys hear that phrase, what does it mean for you?
I think if somebody, I guess what this term means to me is that you're dating somebody, you've gone on a number of dates, you're getting to know them, and all of a sudden it gets real for one reason or another. They're like, hey, before we go any further, I want you to know, like, I have this problem, or like, hey, my family's like this, or here's a non-negotiable for me. And like, you need to work through something, and you two kind of hit a wall in between you somehow, and you sit there and you figure it out and you talk about it, and it gets a little uncomfortable. Maybe somebody cries, but like, that to me is pursuing marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not just walking away when the friction starts, and it's like a little ways in. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I see that one for sure.
Yeah. I would say too, and that's because I've been in the boundless sphere for a long time, and we do use this phrase, that for people who are not dating, we use the term pursuing marriage as being in a marriage-minded kind of mindset. So this idea of like one thing that just drives me nuts is a single young adult who comes up to me and they're now like 33, 34. They're all frustrated that they're not married. And then you start digging into like, okay, so where have you been in the last 5 years and whatever? And they're either, you know, they're doing basically nothing that would indicate that they are interested in marriage whatsoever, you know? So, they are like, I've told people like a girl, for example, who like says, well, you know, I really want to be available, but she's off in like Nepal, like climbing Everest. And then she's some, you know, and I'm sure if a guy wants to find her there, I guess he can, but otherwise she could make herself more available. And again, not to tie God's hands or anything, but I think to be in an open position of expectancy, to be open to marriage, to voice a desire for marriage, both men and women, and then to be like about your business. It's like, you know, letting God, or I'm reminded of there's a Keith Green song from like way long ago where it talks about like, do your best and God will take care of the rest. And I think of that, like it's you
and
it sounds like a Keith Green song.
Keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway. So the whole idea of like, we both have our part. God's certainly going to work supernaturally and he will bring together people and stuff, but he also, you know, he steers moving objects. So it's like, be in a position to be married and be open to it, I think, and pursuing it. You guys know how I talk about Proverbs 18:22, that he who finds a wife finds what is good and finds favor with the Lord. Find is an active verb. So guys, you got to go out there. Not in a weird, creepy way. Don't over extrapolate. But
like,
again,
go stand in front of the lady's house, you know, late at night.
Or like one of my former coworkers, like hide in a tree in her house in front of her door and then jump out of the tree when she comes home late at night. That
great
worked.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's the creepy cute scale, though. Like,
exactly.
If she's into it, then
you
it's,
don't
it's
know.
Cute, right?
You don't know whether it'll work.
Baby,
it's
I'm
not,
pursuing
it's,
marriage.
It's a lawsuit. Yeah.
I guess you can try it. Okay, let's just talk about the term meat market, because I like how Catherine has told me that I use this once in a while. And
I like
do.
It.
I like how that's equal to all these other ones,
this
by
is,
the way.
It's a good...
Well, this is where
it's offensive to me.
This specifically plays out in church environments, or specifically like singles groups or small groups, where you know the groups, the community groups or whatever, where they give off a vibe of like people are just circulating in and out to check out what's available and then they leave. And they're not plugging in. They're not in leadership. They're not serving. They're not whatever. They're just scoping out the goods. And so, and I'm not saying, I'm looking at Matt, but I'm not saying it's just about him. I'm saying women
do this
too.
There's one group in town at my church that has a very unique name that I don't want to reference because I'm sure people will hear it and know it, but okay. It's just hilarious.
Okay.
Because they're like this.
It sounds like exactly what you're describing. I'm sure nobody has that intention there.
No.
No, but not. I've been in environments like that, and it is exhausting. Mm-hmm. It makes you not want to be there.
It's called Thirsty Thursdays. Like, it's just, it's too much for me.
That's weird. Yeah.
I know. I think they get together and have a beverage.
Drink chocolate milk.
Well, I mean, for me, I feel like it's just very obvious when that vibe starts happening. Because you know, I mean, people are just going to come in for a few weeks, then they're going to leave, or they might go, you know, then they try to just ask someone out after meeting them once or whatever. I don't know. I just think it can kind of play out and show itself, like show its hand after a while, but it is a frustrating phenomenon. I don't know. All right. Let's talk about talking, because honestly, y'all are going to have to lead on this one because this one just irritates me. So
talking.
I'm going to only talk badly about this. And the definition, actually, you guys, is the awkward stage before you're actually dating. And so this is just your, I don't know, what is this, like recon or what? If you're in this situation, what can you do about it? Who has been in this situation?
People use this in different. I think we probably all have. You been in it, Matt?
Well,
it's not always
college.
Bad.
In college, yes. In real life,
it's college, not real.
Which college?
Well, so you can use it for good and bad things. It can be a good thing if you're using it to like get to know somebody before you go on a date with them. But there's also a sense of like just go on a date with them and see if you want to get to know them better.
Mm-hmm. But even if you go on a date, you can still be talking.
Yeah.
Well, people use this as a way to minimize relationships. So say that say that you're like at the church that's kind of like the meat market thing, and a guy's like, oh, hey, are you seeing anyone? And you're like, well, I'm talking to someone. You just minimize that. So either you don't really like that guy very much, or you don't like the guy who's asking you out. I don't know. I've seen it used both good and bad.
Yeah.
I think it's a stage to get out of.
Yeah. This is like where, you know, a few months ago, like on the blog and on the show, we talked about Josh Harris coming out with his I Survived, I Kissed Dating Goodbye documentary. This like totally reminds me of that, because the idea of, oh, you know, we're just talking, because what you're doing is you're putting such import on going on a date that you cannot even like sign your name to that. You have to call it you're just talking until you're like really ready to like be, oh, I think it's just too much.
What's your advice for a girl in this situation? Because that's what I hear from a lot of our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, I think
the guy's just only talking, not asking you.
Right. And what I think is that he's largely getting away with that because she's making herself available for all of that, you know? So it's kind of like, you know what? If you want to get to know me, ask me out. I don't know.
Right. Can a girl say that? I've bumped into this multiple times.
My friends have done it, and it's worked for them. Yeah,
who like are uncomfortable saying that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think women should say it, and I don't think you say it in like a catty, all weird way to shame the guy and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think you just say, you know what,
a flirty way,
but just like a kind, approachful.
You
like,
want to know?
Right.
Take me out to dinner.
Yeah, you want to do this? Like, let's do it.
Right. Because what women do, what they're prone to do, is to get to succumb to the talking, and then all of a sudden they're talking too much. They're sharing way too much about themselves. They're giving up way too much of themselves, and then they're just in this vortex where they're getting no commitment, and then they feel kind of used over it. It's too much.
On the flip side, though, I've run into a lot of scenarios recently where the guy might be like super into the girl and like showing it and saying it. And she's like, yeah, I'm kind of into you too, but like, I don't want to date. I don't want to do anything yet.
And then he asked her out and she says no, and he's confused.
Well,
is that what you're going
to do? Even
that,
I don't know. It seems to be like a theme that I'm seeing just a little bit with like super solid, like wonderfully mature Christian ladies. But the reality is like, they've never dated before. Mm-hmm. They're in their mid 20s or even 30s. And they're like, they're just nervous. And what they have, I think, is like the honesty and the bravery to say to the guy, like, hey, I'm into this, but like, I'm just nervous and I don't want to commit to dating you yet. Mm-hmm. So like, can we keep kind of an interim period for a bit while I work through some issues here?
Well, and if she has the ability to say that, I would say props to her.
Yeah,
I
mean, I think the more open the guy who's like, communication, yeah, we can do that. Like, you're worth that.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, a guy that kind of puts himself out there and says something like that, and he's getting all this vagary and nonsense, he needs to kind of do the same thing I just said to the ladies and be like, okay, you know, well, you've got to move on. He can't just be, you know, someone's best girlfriend forever. Okay. Interesting. All right, you guys, we hardly even worked through all of these. Oh, my goodness. There are so many more that we could talk about. So maybe we'll have to revisit it at some time in the future, or you guys can certainly weigh in as well. We would love, what are kind of some of your most perplexing terms or phrases in Christian dating that you're just like, seriously, what's up? We would love to hear from you regarding that. So again, as always, you can go to boundless.org, just search 582. That's this week's show, and give us some feedback on that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank
you. Absolutely.
Yeah.